Blog Talk Radio.
Here it comes, here it comes, Bezos. We're alive because we want to stay alive. In Torah Chaim, instructions of life, Torah Chesed, instructions of kindness, Torah Rachmim, instructions of mercies. This is now Soul Class number 342. Today's program is entitled The Glory of Heaven and the Glory of Heart. We're broadcasting right now live, February 27th in the year 2014, corresponding to the 27th of Adar Rishon, 5,774 years of blazing and grazing into the creation, live from Turtle Island, USA, unifying souls actually, in a particularized manner, live from Kesser Crown Heights. Our topic will be inspired by the Torah portion of Mishpatim, which is found in the book of Exodus, Moving All Conscious People, chapter 21, verse 1, and concludes by Exodus chapter 24, verse 18. Hint, 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 we will begin our discussion with the verse found in chapter 24, verse 17 of Exodus. And the appearance of the glory of the Creator was like a consuming fire atop the mountain before the eyes of the children of Israel. And we'll begin to somehow connect the glory of Creator with the blessed human heart. Won't go away any more secrets. You'll have to stay tuned, blessed souls, to get the rest of the Torah teaching. Meanwhile, may the Ein Sof Infinite Creator bless you and your loved ones pleasantly and peacefully. Well, 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 we're going to now let the song of Rev Yitzhak Baton conclude. Here comes the time from his Generation Redemption album, and everyone get ready and everyone get steady in their meditations that they have a divine image. It's Tzelem Elokim, which is no game, to help you get off and scrimmage and realize we can make this world a better place. And we're going to turn down the music slowly but surely from Rev Isaac Baton, and let's just hear the last 30 seconds, because too many times I've cut it off short.
Here it comes.
Yes, thank you, Rabbi Isaac. Blessed brother and prayer partner at the famous Frankel Shir here in Kesekron Heights. Also the president of Beis Mazel, where every Shabbat in Kesekron Heights, the whole year round, with the exception of one or two Shabbosim, but not this Shabbos, Rabbi Isaac gathers together those who like to pray according to the Sephardic tradition of Jewish liturgy. A brief caveat, blessed souls. My name is Don Zosio Goodman. I am a Torah activist, Torah Askan, and I am not the final authority in anything I'm about to say, but rather what I'm trying to do is share with you as a cyberspace librarian Torah activist a distillation of Torah teachings which are accessible now in English to you, and with the means of you now hopefully feeling you are empowered and showered with blessings to do your own research on the matter and come up with your own conclusions, although we are certainly asserting the position we're taking is within the spirit and the instruction of Torah Savora, Torah reasoning. And also we want to wish that Refuah Shlema, today's show will be in the merit of blessings for complete healing for Chaim Ben Tova, Yehuda David Ben Bracha, Meir Nissan Ben Rachel, Yosef Harav Yosef Yitzhak Ben Esther Matal, Armetal Bas Bela, Rus Bas Sohuva, anyone in the world who is in needing, and also for Kitora, daughter of Reuben Claire, as well. We're offering up heartfelt petitions and blessings and prayers that the state of California will get a shefa, a bounty of rain, to help you take away the pain and the sorrow that is generating over there from the lack of rain, except from certain isolated portions of that country. And may the blessings of materiality rain down upon all the creation. We humbly pray to the Almighty Creator in a way that's peaceful and plentiful, and that we will soon see in our days the beating of weaponry into plowshares and the purification of the human family experience in a manner that is peaceful and pleasant and not through the aegis of bloody warfare. So let's now go on today's humble presentation. Blessed souls, 34 days ago, we of the international Hebrew Israelite Jewish community read and hopefully internalized divine instructions from the Torah portion, Mishpatim, from the book of Exodus. Moving all conscious people, which starts on chapter 21, verse 1, and concludes at chapter 24, verse 8. With that being stated, I want to draw your attention, blessed souls, to a verse from the Torah portion in Parshas Mishpatim, from the book of Exodus, chapter 24, verse 17, quote, "And the appearance of the glory of eternal Creator before the children of Israel was like an all-consuming fire on the top of the mountain," end of quote, that mountain, of course, being Mount Sinai, Har Sinai. Now, the Torah word for glory, blessed souls, is pronounced kavod. Now, as we have discussed in previous programs, each Torah letter, otherwise known as Hebrew, or Lashon HaKodesh, the Holy Tongue, has a numerical value. And the numerical value for the Hebrew word kavod is 32. When we break down the spelling of each individual Torah letter, Hebrew letter, Chaf or Kaf has the numerical value of 20, Vais or Vait has the numerical value of 2, the Vav has a numerical value of 6, and the Dalet has a numerical value of 4, which equals 32, which is the same numerical value for the Torah word, Hebrew word, lev, which means heart. So what is the connection between glory, kavod, and heart, lev? To further explore this connection, we pose the following two questions. Is there a quality of glory within the blessed human heart? Question number two, and is there a quality of heart within divine glory? In fact, blessed souls, we humbly suggest that there is a connection between glory and heart ultimately with the divine glory. For within our blessed human hearts resides our own personal glory, our own personal spirit of life, on a higher level, as mentioned in Sefer Mishlei, the book of Proverbs, chapter 21, verse 2, where plucking out from that verse, it reads, V'tochen libot Hashem, that the Creator resides within hearts, referring to every human heart, his or her heart, And the name that is used there, referring to Creator, is the Yud, followed by the Hey, followed by a pause and a Vav, and then followed by a pause and a Hey. As well, Rabbeinu Yonah, classical oral Torah elucidator, explains that this reality of the Creator residing within the blessed human heart carries within it a potency to actually inspire a human being to rectify his or her mistakes of the past, present, or in the future. So how do we associate divine glory with the blessed human heart? So we can, from one perspective, connect the Torah dots of the appearance of Creator's glory, as written in the book of Exodus, chapter 24, verse 17, as is like an all-consuming fire. Now, when we consider fire, via its physical nature, always surging back to its heavenly source, its surging affects its immediate environment, providing warmth, and when needed, consumes any materials interacting with it. So too, blessed souls, our hearts are constantly surging back and forth, being nurtured by the glory of our spirit of life, empowered by Creator who decrees each precious heartbeat to pulse outwardly and inwardly, providing warmth and life to its immediate surroundings. Our blessed human bodies, which contain our blessed hearts, and when our hearts are clicking on a level where we can tap into the EI, the emotional intelligence embedded within our hearts, and the CI and the cognitive intelligence embedded within our hearts, are all filled with the inspiration to love Creator with all of our blessed hearts. In fact, you can learn more about that by seeing the book of Deuteronomy, Sefer Devarim, chapter 6, verse 5. In fact, we can sense a type of burning up, a consumption of ourselves to the Creator, Hashem, as alluded to in King David, David HaMelech, Psalms, chapter 73, verse 26, quote, "My flesh and my heart yearn, Hashem, is the rock of my heart and my portion forever." Now, the idea of the Creator being the rock of our hearts is that He is the support system for our heart, that He resides within in our hearts, our blessed human hearts, blessed souls, is what is our portion forever and which we can rely upon for the strength that we have with each surging and retreating of our human heart. Now, I'm quite aware, blessed souls, this splicing together two seemingly unrelated concepts, namely the divine glory of Creator, as it appeared burning on the top of Mount Sinai, Har Sinai, and the human heart with all of its biological complexity and simplicity, paradoxically, may be a challenge, or let us say a test, for human intellect, as well as emotional intellect. So we would like now to pluck an inspiration to further add to the texture of this type of Torah Savora, Torah reasoning. We would like to pluck an inspiration from a Hasidic discourse delivered by the Lubavitcher Rebbe over 37 years ago on the Shabbos Kodesh, the Holy Shabbat, where the Torah portion, which was read, was actually a combination of two Torah portions, Parshat or Parshas Chukat or Chukas, and Balak. Now, this discourse delivered by the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Zechus Yogaleinu, may his merits protect us, was mushrash, was rooted in a verse from Psalms chapter 60, verse 6. You gave to them, meaning Hashem, you gave to them who fear you a banner to be raised on high. For truth's sake, eternally, Selah. End of quote. One of the Or Torah elucidators on this verse, Targum Yonasan, elucidated upon this verse penned by King David as relating to an awareness that Creator tests those who fear Creator with tests for the sake of reaffirming the truth of Abraham, our patriarch, who testified and exemplified during his lifetime. For those who fear Creator, they are given an opportunity to testify, exemplify forever, that all forms of life tests emanate ultimately from Creator. For one who experiences his or her test can assert then at that point to actualize, to maximize their healthy fear and love and faith in Creator, which empowers them, enables them to endure their life tests as their life progresses. Now, the fact that Abraham is a patriarch of Israel, actually one of three patriarchs, the other two being Isaac and Jacob, Israel, is a source of empowerment for each Hebrew Israelite Jew to pass with flying colors his or her tests in life as life proceeds. However, as part of Torah Savora, there is as well a pristine Torah from a strictly Jewish perspective that as well the three patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Israel, were also halakhically categorized within the Jewish law as Bnei Noach, the sons of Noah, in terms of what their core requirements were. Which now, that when we learn about the test that Isaac and Jacob, Israel went through, this serves as a potent instruction for all the inhabitants of the world, kol boi olam, that they too can endure their tests in life, and enabled and empowered with their healthy forms of love and fear and faith in the Ein Sof, the infinite Creator. If we take a moment, blessed souls, to focus upon what enabled Abraham in particular to pass his life tests, to pass his life tests, aside from his daily experiences, Rashi identifies the following 10 experiences as being extremely unique during the 175 years that Abraham lived upon this blessed earth. And to learn more about this, one can learn from Perkei Avot, the Ethics of the Fathers, Chapter 5, Mishnah 3. So Rashi, who is the primary elucidator of the oral Torah tradition of the five books of Moses, also elucidated on the Mishnah. So we list the following 10 tests that Abraham had to endure in his 175 years, although he certainly was tested more than 10 times, and one can certainly promote the idea that every day is a test for every human being, so certainly every day is a test for even the most righteous of righteous, like say someone like Abraham. So the 10 tests that Rashi taught was number one, that he had to hide underground for 13 years from King Nimrod of Shinar, of Babylon, who sought to kill him. Number two, there was a test Abraham endured when Nimrod had seized him after his father Terach had turned him in, had betrayed his own son, Abraham, and he was thrown into a burning furnace and actually survived the burning furnace. The third test Abraham was to endure was that he was commanded by the Creator to leave his family and homeland, which you can learn more about that by going to Parshat Lech Lecha, which I think is at the beginning of chapter 12, in the book of Genesis, Sefer Bereishis. Test number four for Abraham, was this, almost as soon as he arrived in Canaan, the land of Canaan, he was forced to leave to escape a famine that was afflicting the land. Test number five, according to Rashi, that certain kings had captured his nephew Lot, and Abraham was forced to go to war to rescue him. Test number six, Sarah, his wife, was kidnapped by Paro's officials, in order that Paro would be able to take her as a wife. Now, of those first six tests, I did not state them in chronological order, so please take note of that. Test number seven, in prophetic sequence, the Creator told Abraham, his offspring would be exiled under four monarchies, which we are still in exile under the recapitulated, newfangled forms of the exile of Edom, of ancient Rome. Test number eight, at the advanced age, he was commanded to circumcise himself and, at that time, his only son, Ishmael, later, or 13 years later, he would be commanded to circumcise, actually 14 years later, he would circumcise his other son, who would, and ultimately would be considered his firstborn by his first wife, Sarah. Of course, Ishmael was born of Hagar, who in fact was one of the daughters of Paro, the king of Egypt. Test number 9, Rashi states, that Abraham was commanded to drive away Ishmael and Hagar, which was a very hard test for Abraham, which the Rambam elucidates in his 10 axiomatic high point experience of being tested of Abraham, that this was very, very hard on Abraham to do such a thing. But, lo and behold, the story had a silver lining to that cloudy occurrence and that test that he went through, is that after Sarah Imeno, Sarah our matriarch, had passed on, Abraham would reunite with Hagar, whose name was now become Keturah, which is an expression of incense, because she had protected herself in all ways, which we don't have to elucidate upon Blessed Souls, and eventually she would give birth to two more sons from him. And at the end of also of Abraham's life, before he passed on, he came to peace and was actually reunited with Ishmael. The 10th and last test was the binding of Isaac to the altar known as the Akedah, which of course Abraham passed with blinding, flying colors, I should say, which is an eternal testimony that human sacrifice is not what the Creator desires. Now, again, Rambam does have his own elucidations on the, with a little bit of different sequencing and a little different emphasis, but for that you have to do the research, Blessed Souls, and I'm sure you can find English translations of Rambam's elucidations of the 10 tests in Abraham's life. One more test we mentioned briefly at the beginning of the enumeration of the test according to Rashi was that Abraham passed a test, at least in my eyes, according to Torah Savora. Again, I don't have a source for this, so please forgive me if I'm making a type of reasoning which does not have a source, but I would consider it to be a test, was that Abraham did not take revenge on his father Terach, who we mentioned before, who was a high-ranking member of King Nimrod's government, who feared for his life when it became known, publicly known, that his son Abraham was breaking the idols in his shop, and idols were the thing of the day. That was the MP3, that was the internet, that was the blueberry, that was the blackberry, that was the favorite pastime of that ancient Shinar Babylonian culture, idolatry. And Nimrod had compelled his subjects to bow down to him in idolatrous fashion. So Terach, fearing that the word would get to Nimrod's ears before he could explain what was going on, turned over his son, and hence, as we mentioned before, one of the tests of Abraham's life was that Nimrod had Abraham thrown into a furnace when Abraham refused to bow down to Nimrod because he knew who he was. And he knew even better that the Creator was the one he truly believed in, and he was spared a bitter ending. The proof for the pudding is there are millions upon millions of descendants of the generations who survived and continue to thrive at whatever level you want to consider surviving and thriving because of Abraham being able to stand up to Nimrod's test. The Most High put him through to stand up to Nimrod, not bow down to him, be thrown into the furnace and survive the flaming fires. Getting back to an important point stated, stressed by the Lubavitcher Rebbe in that Hasidic discourse from 37 years ago, although the verse in Psalms chapter 60, verse 6, alludes to Abraham being tested, how much he feared Creator, there was a verse in a prophetic teaching from the book of Isaiah, chapter 41, verse 8, where it says, Abraham Ohavi, the prophetic teaching there, proclaims and asserts that Abraham who loved me, the Creator speaks through the human loudspeaker of Isaiah, Yeshiah Ohavi, to proclaim, the patriarch Abraham loved me, indicative of his essential service to Creator, namely loving Creator, influencing other human beings to love Hashem Creator. And this is elucidated very nicely and very universally In Rambam's enumeration of the biblical precept, the mitzvah of Ahavat Hashem, loving the Creator, and there Rambam taught, quote, plucking from that elucidation, this mitzvah, this commandment includes calling all people to the service of the Exalted One and belief in Creator. For if you love someone, you will praise this someone and call upon others to love this someone. If you love the Creator in truth via what you have comprehended or something of Creator's truth, you will surely call out to simple and ignorant ones to the knowledge of the truth you have already perceived. Whereas written in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, and you shall love the Lord your Creator, make Creator beloved by people, as Abraham your father did, as according to Abraham's comprehension, Abraham's Hasaga, he called others to believe via the abundance of his love for Creator. And there Rambam concluded concerning his explanation of this biblical precept, this mitzvah to love Creator, that this love should be to the point where you call upon others to love him, Creator, to love the Creator, blessed souls. So if you love him, cause others to love them, if not just by reasoning, by prayer, how much more so, last but not least, by acts of kindness to others. And they ask you, why are you doing this? You explain to them, there's a Torah commandment to do acts of kindness. And hopefully that will magnify that blessed soul's estimation of the Creator much more than he or she ever thought of even estimating the Creator as the sovereign being of the heaven and earth in an uncontested fashion. May only be, blessed souls, that we are solely focused to realize each and every test that we take or endure, whichever you want to describe it as, an experience and endurance in this world, and we carry with it the blessings from the Creator. Not only do I pass our life tests, that we reveal the divine glory within our heart. And remember, go back to Proverbs 21, verse 2, blessed souls, to learn more about that concept with all the Torah, oral Torah elucidations which are available to you in English, which you can Google up, or even buy a book. There are so many translations of Proverbs in English with all the oral Torah translations. It really gives a lot of texture and spiritual fiber to help you digest the deep wisdoms of King Solomon, Shlomo Melech. And when we merit to reveal the divine glory within our heart and to share the heart of our divine glory with as many human beings as possible, may we then be zocha to witness the immediate revelation of Mashiach, who will roar out, Torah chadasha mi'iti teitzei, a new Torah from me shall emanate out, meaning the Creator tells to the prophet and to oral Torah elucidations, revelations of Torah, which even the likes of the great prophets of old before the giving of the Torah, at the time of the giving of the Torah, and until this day, have never accessed. And therefore we can learn furthermore as the Mashiach, the righteous Messiah, the line of Judah, will elucidate upon the equality of the miracle within the miracle that exists within human soul. Me bechinas nes betoch nes, Shiva Nefesh Bechinas Yechida, speeding our days, Badarchi Shalom, in a peaceful way, Darchi Noam, Ba'ofen in a way of Ahavachad, one love, Begorel Echad, the Kulana for all of us, Laham Shich, Bezer Hashem, to be continued with the help of the Most High. And we now, blessed souls, want to take this, I think, which is a wonderful opportunity to share a new song composed by Brother David Dome, will help us get back home, to help us realize and hopefully internalize our divine image, will help us go from scrimmage. Our Tzelem Elokim is no dream. The name of the song is Make It Better. Let's make it better. The reason why we have the power to make it better, blessed souls, is because Hateva Tov Lehetiv, it is the nature of the good to do good, and because you are here, revealed on this earth, blessed souls, and you are coming from the source, Hateva Tov Lehetiv, the nature of the good to do good, you've got to do good because you are good in essence, because the Creator put you on this earth to fulfill your mission, to make it a settled world, an inhabitable world, not one of tohu, of emptiness and desolation, a world full of negation of hatred, negation of jealousy, negation of unnecessary competition in our daily lives, only competing against ourselves to improve ourselves daily, never to be satiated by what we've accumulated or acquired, or gain an insight into developing not just a regular type of love and fear of the Creator, but a healthy one that's continual. And also at the same time, too, tempering our accomplishments spiritually, physically, emotionally, intellectually, with the realization that still we'll have to still go through a purification process by the revelation of the tree of life to purify how people have distorted the tree of knowledge. Things which even emanated in seminary teachings or even in secular college. So this is Make It Better by David Dohm. Hopefully we'll have our next flagship show this coming Yom Rishon on Sunday in search of ancient authentic Torah. Take care, everyone. Well, blessed souls, as we're concluding the show, it looks like we have a surprise caller in. Would this be Rebecca Nornworth of North Carolina?
Rebecca Vanderworth. Yes, Don, it's me.
Well, we're winding down the show. Any comments, questions, or concerns about what we shared today?
Well, I just got the opportunity to hone in. I'm terribly sorry. I had things to take care of this morning, and I did not want to miss this morning's broadcast.
Thank you very much. Well, we're winding down. I can't recapitulate 30 minutes into one 1 minute, I'll just say that there is a connection between the glory of the Creator burning like a flaming fire on the top of Mount Sinai and the glory that's in the human heart, as elucidated by King Solomon, or hinted to by King Solomon, where he says that the Creator resides in all hearts, and if the Creator is within us, he's also described as an Esh Okluhul, an all-consuming fire. So we have to try to connect the dots as much as we can. Of course, the Torah gives us the opportunity to see what, how do we connect a little bit of that divine fire that was burning on Mount Sinai and go to the mountain peak of our heart, to try to illuminate ourselves and others to the reality of Creator and His plan for creation.
Yes. Okay, I understand where you're going with that. And plus, I'm also going to listen to the program again just to make sure that I get the full gist of everything. I understand completely where you're going. Is there anyone else with you this morning that I've missed?
Well, me, myself, and I.
Oh, Dennis isn't back. Okay.
Well, Dennis, I tried to call him, but he wasn't available. Perhaps he's resting, and maybe the vacation's so good, he's just extending it.
We'll continue on, and we can discuss as you're going into the teaching.
Well, as the truth is, we've concluded. So I brought you at the end of David Dong's song, so I'm about to end the episode. I just want to wish you for the rest of the week until the blessed Shabbat, for you and your blessed loved ones, a wonderful week, and a wonderful week, and a wonderful Shabbat, and hopefully 10:30, 11 o'clock this coming Sunday morning, which I guess would be March 2nd.
Yes.
Well, we'll be greeted with maybe some March showers instead of February snow flurries. We're still awaiting some more snow here in Brooklyn over the weekend. I don't know, in North Carolina, probably that season is over with the snow, but anyway.
Well, we had a little bit of snow mixed with rain yesterday.
Wow, even though that, even the previous last weekend, you mentioned it was set between 70 and 80 degrees.
It has a tendency of fluctuating quite a bit here during this time of year.
The Creator,
so we can have a gorgeous week 1 week, and then the next week it's freezing cold, and then back to the gorgeous week again.
Wow. So Creator's asking us to become more flexible.
You know,
I never thought about it that way,
but that's a great way to look at it.
Okay, ma'am, I'm gonna bid you adieu. Have a blessed day, and between you and me, I'll tell you a big secret. I have to run to work.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.